Video. It's the only way to get what you want to watch when you want to watch it.
Hello, my name is Justin McClure. I'm here today with
Mark Hansen.
And you're listening to the Bay Street Video Podcast. We go through all the notable Blu-rays and DVDs that were put out this week.
Yeah, we got some big ones this week.
Box sets. It is a it's Arrow Video. And Inside the Mind of Coffin Joe.
The first big box set of the year, I
Arrow Video box set that we talked about last time. They do like the Spaghetti Western ones.
Yeah, I think you talked about that one.
Yep.
I feel like they've been kind of in that Spaghetti Western mode lately.
You like Italian films? Here you go.
Exactly. This has been hugely anticipated. It was actually supposed to come out before Christmas.
Wow.
They delayed it a month, I assume.
To perfect packaging reasons.
I don't know.
Are you a Coffin Joe fan? And who is he?
So I had never seen... So Coffin Joe is Brazil's national boogeyman.
Woo!
Cinematic boogeyman. Created by Jose Mojica? Lorenz.
Sure.
I probably mangled that name. I had never seen a Coffin Joe movie until this week when I checked out the first one. Are you a Coffin Joe fan? You didn't pick this up.
Not really. I appreciate what he does, but it's kind of like, yeah.
So I watched At Midnight, I'll Take Your Soul. I'll start there. I've always wanted to see the Coffin Joe movies.
There are so many movies here I've never heard
of.
Things.
Synapse put out the DVD set of three or four.
That was a long time. That's the ones that would continually get put out.
About a decade ago. And I didn't realize there were like six or seven more movies with him. I mean, obviously, I assume it's not the same guy, right?
That plays it? No.
All of them?
Yeah. It's all him. I don't think they're all Coffin Joe movies, though.
Clearly, I'm not very well informed on Coffin Joe.
Diverging from horror towards satirical black comedy, The End of Man sees a naked stranger emerge from this. Like, that's not a Coffin Joe
film. That sounds interesting, though.
I think he just took the identity of Coffin Joe, and that's what they're putting on the front, just to. And I believe it's probably structured chronologically, which means that you get to start with Coffin Joe. You know, The Night I'll Possess Your Corpse, that's definitely a Coffin Joe film. But then there's other ones as well. Oh, Stephen Thrower's all over this, though. I love Stephen Thrower.
Yeah, I think watching At Midnight, I'll Take Your Soul, I thought it was really cool. I thought he was really cool. I thought he was really campy, really over the top. I think it's something that I, maybe appreciate more than I fully got into. But I can see why people really like it. I thought it was really well made for and really evocative for a 60s. And it had a lot of shock value to it for a 60s horror movie, I guess. And some of the material in it is pretty dark.
Gnarly.
Pretty gnarly, actually.
Isn't
I mean, it's not
like,
violent.
Yeah.
It's not like explicit.
Doesn't he want a wife to have a baby or stuff?
Yeah,
like, it's all like sacrilegious.
He wants... like to impregnate a woman to have like the perfect offspring. So he full on rapes a woman in this movie. It's done, you know, not in an explicit kind of way that you might think, but still pretty.
I'm sure it probably does get
pretty
explicit
intense
in some
for
of
the early 60s.
Future films, like there was one, The Strange Hostel of Naked Pleasure.
that sounds a little more explicit. But yeah, just reading about him, he became this kind of like national icon of Brazil, kind of like a Freddy Krueger type figure or something like that.
I remember when he came to Toronto and he was at like sitting at the table at Fan Expo with the big long nails being like,
because the big long nails are really him. He must have been pretty old at that
point. He was very
old. Is he still alive?
No, he's passed away.
Okay.
But Coffin Joe, if you're a fan, here it is. I could give a more full-throated...
I know, sorry. I feel like you and I are both so like, it's cool.
I must have watched it a long time ago. Maybe I'd appreciate it now if I watch it again.
Yeah, I think you'd appreciate it a bit more.
I got too many box sets to watch.
I know.
I can't dedicate myself to this one.
This is beautiful, though. If you're... I mean, this is...
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 movies.
Yeah, if you're a cult film fan at all, I'm sure you're going to be interested in this a little bit. This is kind of the definitive Coffin Joe set. This is all you're going to need for
100%.
Coffin Joe. And even if you bought prior sets, like
this is the one that you want.
It's never been on Blu-ray before.
No, never.
So this is perfect. And like you said, lots of features, lots of extras. I don't know how long this thing's gonna last because the Arrow box sets do tend to be a little more limited than their regular releases.
But they usually come back in other forms.
They do. But this one's been selling pretty well. I was a little worried when they moved it after Christmas because I'm like, January's a little
dead. But there's nothing else.
It actually came at a pretty good time. So
let's take out our whips because it's time to, punish Criterion once again. Well, whips. That sounds evocative.
You're going to punish Criterion?
Yeah, a little too sexual, I would say.
Okay.
But, we like to you know, make fun of Criterion on this podcast because they give the least amount of effort possible.
They really do. And like, this release has been a long time coming from them. They've been hinting at this for
like
a while.
Like, Lone Star has never come to Blu-ray, right?
Ever.
Never.
DVD's been out of print for
years. Love Lone Star.
And I'm pretty sure Criterion has hinted at this for at least a year or
John
more.
Sayles, kind of like weird Western.
Yeah, probably his most mainstream success, I would say, throughout his career for a guy who's definitively kind of worked on the fringes.
Here's what you get. You get this movie, beautiful new transfer, I'm sure.
Yeah, it looks
great. I mean, that's worth it.
Yeah, I popped it in. Looks beautiful.
An interview with Sayles and Gregory Nava. An interview with Dryberg, the cinematographer.
That's it.
All you get!
I know. I popped this disc in, and I went to the bonus features. What do we got here? Oh, like, nothing. And
I paid $50
for this. I watched
this.
The conversation between Gregory... That's fine.
John Sayles is such an interesting guy, though.
No, and that's the thing. John Sayles, great. I loved what he had to say. Gregory Nava.
Who's Gregory Nava?
The filmmaker of El Norte and a bunch of other films.
Yep.
Not a great interviewer, though, I would say. I'm not sure he has the best. Great to hear what John. They clearly are friends and have a rapport, but I'm not sure he asked a lot that I would have liked to see him ask, maybe. So, yeah, I'm really happy that this is out now, but Criterion. What are you guys doing over there? Could they not get anything more? I mean, did John Sayles, does he not do commentaries or anything? Or, yeah, I don't know. Is it a John Sayles thing? But they got him to sit down for this interview, so.
All right. So, next up. Wow. It's good, bad timing? Because Kino's putting out The Russians Are Coming, the Norman Jewison film.
Oh, yeah. It's
and
Norman
he passed
Jewison.
Away.
He just passed away. Yeah, good timing. Great timing. This has already been out before. This is a repackage. Are you a fan of The Russians Are Coming? I've never seen it.
I think I maybe just put it because maybe Norman Jewison passed away. So I was like, hey, Norman Jewison on here.
Yeah, well, this isn't really any different than the prior release, except it's cheaper and has a slipcover with it now, which is what the people want.
I feel like I've seen The Russians Are Coming.
Yeah.
Like, at some point, I was like, not that good. I was hoping it'd be like Norman Jewison's 1941.
So what do you feel about Norman Jewison? Are you a fan of him in general? I don't think I've ever seen this movie. I don't think I've seen many of his movies.
I mean, I really like Cincinnati Kid.
I've never seen that.
Was he sick the last decade? Like, no one was talking about him or anything like
that. I want to say the last movie. Kane movie, The Statement or something like that, which I think I did see. I think I saw the last movie Norman Jewison ever made.
Yeah.
But even like Rollerball? I've never seen Rollerball.
Oh, Rollerball is good. The James Caan movie.
I've never seen it.
I mean, he's a journeyman, but he would like push things in like interesting directions. He worked with Hal Ashby as an editor on stuff like Thomas Crown Affair.
No, so much respect for him. Yeah. I just don't know. I guess he did In the Heat of the Night.
He did do In the Heat of the Night.
So I've seen that. Yeah, I just maybe I should start watching some
Norman Jewison movies.
I guess.
You know,
but yeah, R.I.P.
Wong Jing, the director of Hong Kong classics, said Norman Jewison is his favorite director.
No way.
I think mostly that's because of The Cincinnati Kid, which is a film that he took over from someone else, I believe.
Okay.
Like, he was a, you know, a John Frankenheimer style hired gun at the last minute.
Yeah. I mean, he made a really nice career for himself over the decades.
I mean, he created that school that such great movies have come out of it as Cube.
And the CFC.
Cube. Yeah, Canadian Film
Center. Yeah, I know. Whenever I think about that, I'm like, that's the Cube School. They should just name it the Cube School.
So next up, we have The Outside Man. Wait, it's in quotation marks. Does that mean I should believe it or not?
Maybe. It's also got a French title, un homme et l'amour, something like that.
Un homme et l'amour? Wait, un homme et mort. A man is dead.
A man is dead.
That's a better title than The Outside Man.
So have you ever seen this one?
Nope.
I actually just watched this. I'd always been curious. It is a French-American co-production made by Jacques Duret.
Don't know that.
Who made La Piscine.
Oh, I know La Piscine, which was remade by
A Bigger Splash. Really love La Piscine. Also did a lot of like Eurocrime movies with Belmondo, and he did Borsellino and stuff like that. Always been curious about this one. Jean-Louis Trintignant is a French hitman, comes to L.A. To do a hit, and then obviously his bosses turn on him, and they're trying to get him out. Roy Scheider is sent after him as another hitman, and he's basically just trying to like get back to Paris. This movie was really cool.
Oh, nice.
Say. It was really awesome.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, it's like, it shoots L.A. so beautifully. You know those, like, European films that shoot in L.A. and they just, like, make L.A. seem so much cooler for some reason? It was, like, one of those kind of things. And, I mean, it's a pretty prototypical type of story. It doesn't really reinvent the wheel in that way or anything, but it's just the vibe of it is so cool. The score is really cool from Michel Legrand. It hasn't really ever been available. It was like an MGM archive DVD for the longest time.
MGM archive?
I know. But this contains both cuts because in English and in French, there were like slight changes, I believe, by a couple minutes or two. So it's a two-disc set, cuts, audio commentary from some film historians and such. And it looked really beautiful, I gotta say. I just threw this on a whim because I'd always wanted to see it, and I was quite taken by it. Excellent stuff.
Now we have another box set from one of Canada's greatest documentary filmmakers, Alanis, I'm going to say her name wrong, Obomsawin?
Yeah, I think so.
We've talked about her before.
Yes.
Because one of her films was released by Canadian International Pictures.
Yeah, Kena Satake, which is not included in this one. This includes a lot of other films, though. It is a 12-disc set, I believe.
21 films. Now, I wish it said what films.
Yeah.
And, like, how many features, what's going on here, but it does not. It even says,
does not.
Offers 7 never-before-seen bonus features. What are those bonus features?
So, this is a set from NFB,
National Film Board.
It's kind of a big deal because we've never been able to get their stuff here before.
How much stuff are they putting out?
They have DVDs you can buy right from the NFB.
Yes.
Because people sometimes ask us about them, and we're just like, oh, you got to
order directly from the NFB.
They put this set out last month, and I just decided to reach out on a whim because I'm like, our customers would like that. It's in the TIFF Bell Lightbox store here in Toronto. I'm like, we should get some of those. And they were more than happy to oblige. So now we're set up. We can order stuff from NFB. But this is, yeah, there's more info on their site, though.
Okay.
So I think you kind of just got to go there.
It's probably under the assumption
that
it
has a ton of their features. Basically, everything that is like on their website for streaming is now available here. It is a DVD set only.
They
don't do Blu-rays, though, I don't think. And the other kind of weird thing about this, you probably already knew this, the NFB stuff is only technically allowed to be sold within Canada.
Really?
We are not allowed to ship this outside of Canada, if somebody asked us.
Fascinating.
So, like, if we put it on our, like, online store, we can only do it as Canadian shipping. We can't even do it to the U.S. or anything.
Wow.
Because I guess if they find out, they'll get mad at us or something like that. But this is an excellent set. I'm really happy this is available. It's got a nice book with it as well. Just because Alanis Obomsawin really is one of Canada's, like, best
documentary filmmakers, period.
Yeah, best documentary filmmakers, period. And her stuff has really not been on DVD, on physical media.
How can
at
people
all
watch stuff
this
internationally at the NFB? Because I believe it's region
That's
locked on their website,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know.
So why not DVDs? Like, wouldn't that be the way that it can get out there?
It seems like even if you're a consumer, if you go on their site, if you're outside Canada, they won't sell it
to
you.
Or is it because they want, like, you know, what is it, library licenses where they get to sell stuff
like
for like hundreds
things
of dollars?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you can even buy this set as an institutional license and whatever, but I think it's still just all within Canada. Maybe if it's an institutional thing, they'll do it outside.
Yeah.
But for just the regular consumer, this is a Canada-only release, so any of our listeners outside of Canada, I'm sorry, you can't get this. At least not from us, but it's excellent that she's a great filmmaker. If you haven't seen her films, you should get on that.
Next up, we didn't even say what her films are about, that they're about Indigenous.
Oh, basically about like the how Canada is terrible to its Indigenous population all the time.
All the
That's
time.
That's pretty much what
all
her
documentaries are
about.
But they're like engaging,
Shorts,
they're
features.
Dynamic.
Yeah, she's great. Quite fascinating. I was just reading about her on Wikipedia, and she was a musician first.
Cool.
She was born in the U.S., then moved to Canada. She was a musician first for many years, and then became a documentary filmmaker through that with the NFB. And she's just made tons of films, so many shorts, so many features, and all around the same themes and everything, and the same kind of issues, which is pretty important because we are still failing our Indigenous population pretty horribly these days. So we need more filmmakers like Alanis.
And on that note, let's move to just DV shot horror movies.
Now the real shit. Terrorvision Blu-rays.
Woo, Terrorvision.
We got another wave of Terrorvision here.
And first up, we have Hell's Highway. Vroom, vroom.
Now this is like, you don't often get that excited about Terrorvision releases.
Hey. Well, you know,
well,
they're not my
do.
Friends because they don't send me stuff.
They don't.
I do
should
buy a lot of Terrorvision.
You do.
I am a member of the Terrorvision Vinyl
Club.
Oh,
you are? Yeah. Okay, so you are a big Terrorvision.
Yes.
You were really excited about this one coming.
I love Jeff Leroy's films, and they are very not available on home video. That's a weird sentence there. Very Jeff Leroy-like sentence, I would say. I reached out to him and said, do you own the rights to any of your films? I would love to distribute them from Two Gold Ninja Video a couple of years ago. And he said, I don't own the rights.
Ah, bummer.
I don't know if that's true or not, because he seemed to be hosting them on a personal website or Vimeo page.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Well, it's funny. There was when I asked you to get me a copy of this to watch it, because I'd never seen this film and always wanted to. It was streaming on YouTube first, though. And I'm like, oh, I'll watch it on YouTube. They cut 20 minutes out of it.
Really?
And I'm like, this can't be right and everything. The credits are there. And then the comments were like, they cut out all the gore. And then after watching the movie, I'm like, well, what's the point?
Yeah. So Jeff Leroy is a filmmaker I'm shocked does not have a bigger following.
Yeah, I'd never really... I only know about him through you, basically. Yeah.
So he's a guy, loves special effects, loves kind of like energetic filmmaking, like moving the camera a lot. Just dynamic editing, storytelling, maybe not his strongest point, especially in Hell's. This is a very early film.
I saw it was one of his earlier credits for sure.
Now he mostly just makes giant women films.
Yeah.
That seems to be like his bread and butter.
Yeah.
More power to him. He's made a lot of movies.
He has.
He's done a lot of like Dracula in a woman's prison, werewolf in a woman's prison. He was part of like that Camp Video, softcore, Misty Monday wave of stuff.
I saw a lot of that when I was looking through his IMDb, a lot. A lot of those covers that I remember back in the day.
But like Rat Scratch Fever, classic. Love it. Creepies.
I have heard
Creepers.
Of that one.
I played it during my horror movie Mind Melter this year. Love it. People like lost their mind for that movie. Like that. And when I played Hell's Highway at 4 a.m. in the morning during one of them, people were like, what is this? Now, Hell's Highway. I mean, I know you just watched it, but the way I pitch it is kind of like the Polonia, if they had more style and more effects. But Hell's Highway, for a movie that has like exploding heads and like wild stuff, also has like that weird editing where someone will say a line like, hey, what's going on? I don't know. Like the weird kind of like.
It definitely had a cheap aesthetic.
Oh, very cheap.
Not that that bothers me, of course.
So what did you think of Hell's Highway?
I loved it. I thought it was great. I mean, it really is all about the effects more so than anything.
The performances are very funny,
too. I thought the performances were funny. I don't mind annoying slasher movie characters.
These are the most annoying.
They're really annoying.
But
they're
like,
super
they're so
annoying.
They're so awful as people. Like, but this movie's funny. Like, there's a gag where like someone gets run over and their guts get like pulled behind the car.
That whole sequence is great, and I love the lo-fi effects, especially with that guts scene, because there's a shot of that person's torso where the guts are like coming out. But you can tell it's being, they've just like framed it. So it's, you can tell it's going in from like the person's short. Like,
yeah.
But you can tell the movement of it.
Ah, so
really,
much fun.
Really charming though.
I hope
because it goes way over the top with the gore scenes, but in a funny, almost like a, like how like Olaf Ittenbach used to do shit like that.
If you like splatter films, you like lo-fi film, you need to buy a house. Like, what are you doing? Hell's Highway.
No,
like,
this is excellent. There's a little found footage in there.
Oh, there is a little found footage. I forgot about that.
Because
that's
they're
your
friends, right? I love how there's also like two sets of annoying friends, too, because of the main
one.
You
get to spend found footage time
with them. Well, my friends were, or my brother was already out here, and then you get to see their footage, and it's like the same group of people.
I hope Terrorvision gets to release all of the Jeff Leroy films, because I'm going to buy them all, because I love them.
Oh, yeah. Great ending on this.
Action films, too. He loves miniatures as well, which you don't get in this, but like, is there a gas station that explodes?
Oh, there is.
Yeah, so that's a miniature.
There's a great, Ron Jeremy, very bad man.
Yeah, he shows up in a bunch of Jeff films.
Yeah, he was popular at the time. He shows up to get killed pretty horribly, which is nice.
He gets his dick ripped off.
His dick ripped off, and then he drives into a gas station, which explodes, which, I think it was a miniature. It's like one of the funniest
And
miniatures.
It's shot on film.
It is, because and the car, though, it's so
just
fun.
That one shot.
The way the car goes in, it just slowly goes into the gas station, and it goes clink. Really funny stuff. Great twist ending on this, too, by the way.
An ending
that comes out of nowhere.
Wild.
I was not expecting... I just thought it was going to end like any old slasher type
like
supernatural
they
movie.
Kill the supernatural or the supernatural kills them.
Oh, no. The ending goes in a direction I did not expect. I mean, it's only like the last 2 minutes, but still, very funny.
Just bananas.
I had a great time with this. I appreciate you sending it over.
Oh, I think that my pal Jay Woeful, who I love...
Yes.
does the music for this. Because I think he worked with Jeff Leroy.
I saw that name in the credits. How are the extras on this?
There's a lot of interviews. I remember when they announced it, there wasn't that much. Okay. And I think they went back to the drawing board and added a lot more. Because there's like interviews with like all the stars, Jay Woeful. There's Jeff Leroy Burn Unit, which I don't know what it is. Something called The Curse of Hell's Highway.
Okay.
Cell phone scene with alternate music. That must be the found
footage
thing. That must
be the found footage, yeah.
Now, would I like Jeff to do a commentary?
Oh, there's a great sex scene in this, too.
Yes,
there's
very
good. Really funny sex scene in this.
Yeah, what are you doing? You should be ordering Hell's Highway right now.
This is definitely one of the better TerrorVision releases I've had the pleasure of seeing lately.
They had been able to make a better cover that sold the movie. Because this is the original box art.
I mean, that's just the original art, right? Yeah.
Like, this movie's
which the
bananas.
DVD also had, yeah.
So, this was a movie that you could find all the time on like 50 horror packs.
Yeah.
Because
well,
it was sold to
the
that.
Original DVD release when it was first out, but I don't know. But now, long out of print from Brain Damage Films, which.
Yep, it was Brain Damage Films.
That's not his
so
company.
It wasn't.
What is Brain Damage Films?
I don't think they exist anymore. Maybe they exist in an online form, which is probably who posted it on YouTube.
Maybe that. Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
And they've been around for a long time. They've been around since the 2000s because their films used to make it to HMV, but it would be like the lowest budget.
Yeah,
stuff.
No, I remember the logo well.
Next up, we have another TerrorVision release, All Jacked Up and Full of Worms. What's this one?
This is a new movie that they put out that I quite enjoyed. I saw this. It came out 2 years ago or so, and it's like a gross-out experimental horror comedy about a guy who's like he's a maintenance worker, and he gets hooked on these like worms. They're like hallucinogenic worms, so it's kind of like a drug allegory sort of thing, but they're like actual like gross-looking worms, and they're like doing gross stuff with them. Gets really gross, gets really nasty. I had a fun time with this, so I don't know what
would
else to
recommend
say about it. I would recommend it if you're looking for like a new kind of like gross out horror comedy movie. I liked it, a lot of style. I think I played Fantasia a couple years ago.
That sounds about right.
That's where I first heard about it. It was kind of on my radar. It showed up on Tubi, as these things tend to do. And then TerrorVision announced they were putting it out. So that's cool. I like when they give some love to like newer movies that kind of fall through the cracks after their festival
TerrorVision
runs.
TerrorVision, put my name on a mailing list. I will talk about these on this podcast.
Hell yeah.
Also,
we both will.
Maybe if I really love the movie on the more successful podcast I have, which has more listeners. But people message me all the time and they say, oh, you sold me on this movie.
There you go.
And most of them probably not even buying it from Bay Street Video.
Yeah, probably not. That's fine, though. We're just spreading the love of physical media everywhere.
Like the $10 release of The Trial of Lee Harvey Oswald.
This is a funny one. Do you know this at all?
No.
So this was an old Something Weird DVD back in the day.
Wow.
It was like a double bill with something.
VCI jumping on it.
Yeah.
And it's directed by Larry Buchanan.
Yes.
Oh, I love Larry Buchanan.
He's an exploitation king and one of the original true crime exploitation guys.
Yeah.
I think.
He has an amazing book. I think it's It Came From Hunger, aka like these are why the movies I made are the way that they are. And you read that book and you're like, man, he's so dynamic and energetic. I can't wait to watch these movies. And you're watching me like, oh boy.
Yeah. And I will say this movie is not very good. It's pretty boring, but it's just fascinating that this existed. Basically, this movie imagines what the trial of Lee Harvey Oswald would have been if he wasn't assassinated himself by, you know, an angry whoever it was that assassinated him. You know,
we've all seen JFK.
We've all seen JFK. We know. It was released like months. It was like made and released like months after Lee Harvey Oswald was killed. So it was pretty controversial at the time. Apparently,
Larry Buchanan like
it
rushed
was pulled
those
from theaters. Yeah. What is this movie? It's literally just like an hour and a half trial. It's really dry. It's really boring. The guy who plays Lee Harvey Oswald doesn't say anything the whole time because he elects to not like say anything. He elects to not take the stand and everything. So they kind of get around like having Lee Harvey Oswald say anything. He's just like sitting there silently in the courtroom. They keep cutting to him too. They keep cutting this shot of his eyes all the time. His like sinister looking eyes. Interestingly enough, I think I've just been so Oliver Stone pilled in my life that like I'm just expecting the conspiracy stuff to come up. They don't actually go into this that at all because I guess that wasn't really a thing back then. It's very like cut and dry. Like they're basically like Lee Harvey Oswald did it. Is it because he
was a communist?
Was he communist or was he mentally
ill?
Like, ill?
Yeah.
And that's what the whole thing. They don't even like, and they don't even give you the verdict at the end. At the end, the prosecutor and the defense like turn to the camera, like they're talking
to
you.
What do you think?
What do you think about this?
That's great.
This was an old Something Weird DVD that I have because we sold off our old rental of it back in the day. I just thought it was funny that it was back out again. Apparently, Elmer Bernstein is credited as the composer here.
Wow.
Which I did not realize until right now. But there's also a bonus feature on this, A Thousand Days, a tribute to John F. Kennedy.
I'm saluting right now.
Yeah. We've been talking a lot about JFK lately on this podcast.
We got JFK fever.
JFK on the mind.
So next up, we have the new Claire Denis film, 35 Shots of Rum. Take it away, Mark.
You know what? I love Claire Denis.
You haven't seen this one.
I haven't. This is like the... I think this is the only film of hers I haven't seen, so I will watch it. I will get on that because I know this is one of her most acclaimed. I just wanted to put this on because did you hear about the mistake that happened with this?
No. Oh, yes, I did. That they put a different movie inside of it.
So the replicators put the Vinegar Syndrome for release of Roadhouse on the discs
of
for
35 shots.
So it's like
of rum?
It's printed as the 35 yeah. shots, but you put it in.
Hey, that happens to me sometimes.
And it's Roadhouse.
Man, that'd be so
imagine
stressful
look,
as a replicator.
Imagine sitting down and be like, ah, oh, yeah, I'm ready to watch 35 shots of rum Roadhouse.
Roadhouse? I'd be happy.
I mean,
like,
Roadhouse is great. Yeah. I mean, so this actually came up before Christmas as well. We only got our copies now because I think they were like, stop the presses as soon as they... So none of our copies are affected. Apparently, they got all of the copies that were affected.
Really?
So,
okay.
So, but if you get one from us that's Roadhouse, let me know because I'm intrigued to see if there's
like
still
a stamp,
more
is
out
it worth
there.
More?
You should probably keep that, right?
Yeah. All right. We also have The Raid Redemption.
Yeah. In 4K Steelbook.
Garris Evans has been hyping up the release of The Raid Redemption for a while.
I know.
Did a whole new color correct on it.
Yeah.
Very
well, we sold out of this very fast. I got more on the way.
Where's this one from?
Oh, it's a hold for basically a customer who had pre-ordered it.
But I'm looking on Amazon, yeah. And they're not available either. Not even Amazon.com.
I think they just oversold.
Sold out?
Sold, yeah.
Wow.
Like, because the thing is, again, this is an import, so it's really pricey. It's like $60 for this steelbook.
But they all
book.
Bought it.
Yeah, so that's why I didn't, like, I wasn't sure how
many are they allowed
to
make it that pricey?
So,
who's releasing this? Sony. What the hell are you
it's
doing,
just, well, for us, it's just because it's a U.S. release.
Yeah, but
I don't know if it's
but in the U.S., it'd probably be
$40.
That's a lot for a Blu-ray.
Because in Canada, The Raid is actually distributed by
E1. Yep.
So they didn't. This is just like they haven't put out a 4K of it at all. So I don't know if they're planning on it, but
I would say probably not.
This was, but you were. Does this have more new
nope,
features?
There's
on
nothing.
It? No,
it's just the new transfer. Yet.
Yeah. Well, people, you know, The Raid's great. Everybody loves
poor,
The Raid.
Poor Gareth Evans is trapped in some hell where the Netflix movie
right
that he made. May never come out, the Tom Hardy one.
Right.
He shot that like 5 years ago.
That's a bummer, man.
And like,
that's what Netflix does to you.
He did a show that was like super successful that people loved.
Yeah.
But then he quit after the first season.
Gangs,
I did not like
Gangs
that show.
Gangs of London, right?
I found it was just torture the entire time. Like,
okay.
Just, this is the thing about Gareth Evans. I love his martial arts movies.
Yeah.
I think he is very excessive in a way that I don't enjoy. And he loves torture. He loves pain.
Yeah.
As, and not like the way that I like fun pain. He's just like people like over fire kind of pain. Like that happens in Gangs of.
Okay. Well, have you seen any of his pre?
I did. He has
stuff?
One Footsteps. I've seen it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is very torturous.
It is
kind
right.
Of.
Yeah. Because I remember I loved The Raid when it came out. I'm like, I'm gonna see what this Gareth Evans
and
guy
he also
did.
Has,
and I ordered a DVD of that. And it's like, oh, this is different.
Is it Munratu?
Marintau. Which I haven't seen.
And that one's
that
interesting
that
because
okay?
It's the issue that I have with all of his other movies that are not The Raid, which is that it's so. Like self-serious and long. It's like 2+ hours. And he made The Raid as a reaction to that.
Right.
And then when The Raid 2, he's like, I can do whatever I want. So like The Raid 2 is like a bloated mess.
I know. That's the thing. I'm like with, I like him, but I'm when I think about it.
He needs a screenwriter.
I think I really only just like The Raid.
Yeah.
Like the most out of any of them.
But he was like, he was the white guy. He was making martial arts films.
Yep.
He found like Ico and those guys because he was working there. And he did all that. He really hasn't been able to capitalize on that, which is a bummer.
It's a
he
bummer
made
this is
that
so
Netflix
huge.
Film, Apostle,
yes,
which I did not like.
Did not see that one.
You didn't see? Maybe you'd like.
I was intrigued.
It's like
a
horror.
It was like, it's. I think it's still on.
Two
my
and a half
list.
Hours. Yeah, it's a Netflix
that's
original.
What me
it's a Netflix
I was
original.
Ready to watch them, like, 2.5 hours, and then it just kind of sat in the back burner.
Didn't he make another one after that?
Maybe. I kind of stopped paying attention to him.
I'm trying
after
to.
A while.
Yeah. Because The Raid came out a while ago. Like,
yeah, it's like
real
over
shame.
A decade ago now. It's like 2011 this came out, I think. 2012.
Yeah. Okay. That it feels like he, Apostle, that was his last feature film. That's wild.
That's crazy. Yeah, I know Gangs of London he was tied up with.
someone who took the baton and ran with it was Timo, the guy who did The Night Comes for Us. I love that movie.
And he's great. I started watching one of his horror movies on Netflix recently.
He did two of them.
May the Devil Take You?
Yeah, May the Devil Take You 1 and 2.
I only got through half of it. Yeah, and I just return to it, and then I just haven't so far. And I love Indonesian horror, but...
Hey, he follows me on Twitter, and he likes and retweets my posts.
Yeah, no, he's cool. I follow him on Twitter, too. I think
he rules.
Cool.
He's very passionate about what he does.
And... So I'm down with him.
I wonder what Gareth Evans is doing right now. Is he just like sitting
right
in his house?
Right this second. I like imagining that. Sometimes.
He's like,
what is this
replying to a tweet
doing?
Going, I am not Gareth Edwards, the director of Rogue One.
That's what also was like tripping me up back in the day.
Now, Havoc.
Gareth Evans.
His new Netflix film. That is definitely a Tom Hardy problem, right?
Yeah. Is it?
I mean, Tom Hardy's so difficult. Like,
he is
famously.
Difficult. Yeah.
So it's like that why the movie can't get done? But like, Tom Hardy's doing
other
movies.
So many
other
people have made movies with Tom Hardy. Like, he can't be that. I mean, yeah, I'm sure he's difficult, but he can't be like that difficult.
Yeah.
Can he?
I don't know.
Maybe. Who knows?
Well,
let us know if you know have any hot tips on
Tom Hardy,
people.
Next up. Hiya! It's the Three Ninjas.
We're staying in martial arts, you know. We're talking about
the Raid.
Three Ninjas.
I was at the world premiere of the Raid when I played at TIFF. Yeah.
That's great. I saw it theatrically, but I never saw it at TIFF. I missed it at TIFF, and I should have seen it at TIFF. But even just seeing it theatrically, I remember it was like
people were applauding and into it.
Like mostly packed theater. We were all like loving it. And it was like on a Tuesday night or something.
Yeah.
It was great.
Next up, Three Ninjas.
So we are sold out of this already. Shockingly, we are sold
out. People want Three Ninjas.
The Three Ninjas 4-film collection from Via Vision. I love the Three Ninjas.
Oh, wait. Isn't it like $80 too or something like that?
It's like $60. So I only brought in a few because I'm like, I love Three Ninjas, but I don't know if we've never done
a
ton of
Three Ninjas, Three Ninjas 2, Three Ninjas 3 Surf's Up.
No, it's Three Ninjas, Kick Back.
Okay, I'm confusing.
Three Ninjas, Knuckle Up.
Surf Ninjas.
And, Surf
completely
Ninjas.
Completely different.
Rob Schneider.
Oh. And then the best one was Hulk Hogan.
High Noon at Mega Mountain.
Which one? It's a funny park, isn't it?
I saw that theatrically.
It played theatrically?
Yeah. It did. It played theatrically. Briefly. Very, very briefly.
Isn't Jim Varney in that movie, too?
Yes. Jim Varney's in it. You know what I think the big deal is about the Three Ninjas collection here?
Yeah.
These were such a big part of my childhood.
I don't remember.
My friends and I would play Three Ninjas.
I never
had
any Three Ninjas nostalgia.
Really?
Which you may find surprising. I knew of them. I don't even I must have seen the movie.
Right? I mean, even me, it's been so long, I have a hard time
remembering what happened.
I rewatched the first Three Ninjas.
One of them has a mo haircut. How dare adults were giving kids? Because my friend had a mo haircut too.
Yeah, I had that too. There was a wave, I think, like our boomer parents all gave us that same kind of
bowl cut.
Awful.
Thing.
I don't know. I remember being in like grade three or four, and everybody at school.
Oh man, Three Ninjas is a John Turtletaub joint.
It is, which is annoying because I hate John Turtletaub.
You hate John Turtletaub. That's the most passion anyone's had.
So lame. He's such a lame director.
Oh wait, Three Angels Knuckle Up was directed by the guy who made Pulgasari, the famous
Pulgasari.
South Korean director that was kidnapped by the North and forced to make movies.
Great movie though.
Now what was the third one called again?
Well, the second one is Kick Back. The third one is Knuckle Up. The fourth one is
Hulk Hogan. One of the actors did not come back. He was in the first
one. Yeah, I remember that happening.
Yeah.
There was some shit because I don't know what happened after the first one, but it changed. Like, Disney got rid of it.
The director of Three Ninjas Knuckle Up also made Dennis the Menace Strikes Again, K-9-1-1. Oh, he also did No Escape, No Return, which I believe is a PM Entertainment movie.
Yeah, I think it is, right?
Oh, it's not very well liked. Ooh, even the Schlock Pit only gave it 2 stars. Yikes. Also, Intent to Kill. That is the most PM Entertainment. Oh, Tracy Lord's Intent to Kill.
Oh, right. Okay. I know that one. I think that's on my Tubi list right now.
You know what? I want this Via Vision Three Ninjas set now.
I'm tempted to buy this, honestly. Because I don't know if I still have it. I had the first one on DVD. I never bought the sets of the sequels, but I'm just stoked they're all together. For the longest time, I'm like, why can't I just buy a set of all the Three Ninjas movies? And now I can.
Well,
except I got to pay like... $60 for it. And there's no features on it.
No?
Not according to the back.
I'm looking right now.
Secret features, but they're not.
No secret.
They're not listing them on the back cover.
Oh, man. ViaVision, you should reach out to me. I would have done a video on
I would have for sure done commentaries on all of them. Guys.
Theatrical trailer. Yeah.
We're right here. We're right here.
Extended 96 minute cut of Three Ninjas Knuckle Up.
I'm telling
three
you,
ninjas,
kids,
three ninjas.
Kids, 90s kids sports movies, my bread and butter.
If
anybody out there is releasing these on Blu-ray, contact me. I will do commentaries. I'll do whatever you want.
I only have 5 minutes left.
Oh,
so it's time for our blind buy.
Oh, wow. Okay. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Let's get into this.
Well, there's a good thing about this one, and our blind buy is White Rush.
Hell yeah.
It's bad.
You didn't like it?
It's boring. You
I had fun with this.
No, bad. It's bad, bad, bad. There's people talking to each other for 90 minutes.
Okay, well, this is a Mark L. Lester.
Yes.
Early 2000s
DTV. It might as well
DTV
have been directed
joint.
By some...
Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and say, I think Mark L. Lester is an unheralded DTV auteur.
Boo!
I've been a bit on a Lester kick. I watched Hitman's Run with Eric Roberts, which,
don't
was,
like it very
which
much.
Was fun.
Yeah, it's okay.
And then I watched a crazy erotic thriller he made called Stealing Candy or something with Daniel Baldwin. Same year as this.
He did some really... Mark Dacascos pictures I've seen.
Yes, he did. The Base.
The Base, yeah.
In the sequel, which didn't have Mark Dacascos. He made a lot around this time because he started up a company to make DTV action.
Yes, and it seems like the person who released this Blu-ray, Dark Force, they are in the Mark L. Lester business.
Well, yeah, because they did Groupie, which was not good. I did not like Groupie.
Okay. Well,
these ones are better because they're shot on film, at least. And I don't know.
This one was written by C. Courtney Joyner, who I love.
Yeah,
he
I'm
rules.
Surprised you didn't like this one.
I found
one.
It very dumb.
What did you think about the music from DK Blue?
Didn't even notice.
He worked with it. I was watching Hitman's Run or another one of them. DK Blue.
Who's
also
DK Blue?
I don't know. I thought you posted about he's some composer.
Oh, it's a pseudonym
that,
for someone else.
Yeah, it's a different composer,
right? Because it looks like
right?
Dick Blue. I just
Dick
thought
Blue,
it was funny.
Right?
Yeah.
It is funny. I'm kind of saddened that you didn't like this.
What did you like about it? Sell it to me.
I just thought it was like, I liked how fast it got going.
Yes.
Right? Like,
it, like
within 5 minutes.
But then
like,
it puts the brakes on and they all go to their normal job
and live
their life.
I liked how irredeemable all these people were, though.
Yeah,
like they
awful.
Were such assholes.
So it's a simple plan that a bunch of guys find the drug deal goes wrong and they get a bag full of money.
And I love that they're in the woods and I don't really know why they're in the woods, but they quickly like
but then they
goes
go,
away from the woods.
I know,
they're like back in LA. I thought they were going to
be
in the woods the whole time.
Yeah, me too.
But then they're just back in LA. Louis Mandelor is a corrupt cop.
Yeah.
Judd Nelson's the one guy
Judd
who
Nelson
survived.
Judd Nelson is so sleepy in
he
the
is
movie.
Sleepy. Yeah. Taylor Sheridan makes an acting appearance
Who is
here.
He in the movie?
He's the sleazy guy. He's the guy that gets his throat cut in the hot tub.
Oh, yes,
like, I don't know. I had fun with this.
Well, I'm glad you did. Yeah. I thought it was just very static, like
That's
boring.
Fair. I mean, I wouldn't recommend this to people who weren't already into like DTV Dreck, but
I know.
I don't know. It just works for
kill.
Me. It's no instinct
but
to kill.
But what is? We
it's
knew no that going in.
Yeah. Maybe I went in with like lowered expectations.
I did have pretty low expectations as well.
Yeah, I was like, I like this cast. I like Mark Lester. I like this idea. And I don't know. I had fun with it.
I'm disappointed with my blind buy. You're
not. I'm not. I hope they release more of these.
We will be there for the next Mark L. Lester film.
I'm ready for more of his DTV. He made so many at that time.
So that's it for this week's episode of the Bay Street Video Podcast. Until next week, my name is Justin McGlue.
And I'm Mark Hansen.
Keep on buying.
Keep on renting.
Hollywood made martial arts films that is directed to kids.
These movies and many more are available at your local video store.
Three Ninjas.
Three Ninjas.
Surf Ninjas.
Surf
Ninjas. Were you a Surf Ninja fan?
I was, yeah. Leslie Nielsen's in that too.
Oh, he is. So it's even more comedic.
Surf Ninjas, just quickly, if anybody has the DVD, has one of the best DVD menus. It's just them like actually surfing.
I think he posted this,
and
right?
Leslie Nielsen's bobbing up in the water. Anyways, great stuff. What else? There was more. Right?
Beverly Hills Ninja.
Yes, that's kind of not a kid's
movie, but it's a Hollywood film. That's pointing
that's
to kids.
I love Beverly Hills Ninja.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Do you? Does it still hold up?
It's been a while since I watched. I should probably watch it again.
Robin Chu doing second fiddle to Chris Farley.
Surf Ninjas does not hold up very well.
Was there a second Surf Ninjas?
No, they just did one of those. Surf Ninjas is okay. But,
So when Vinegar Syndrome is going to release a $70 box set, you know, you'll be buying Surf Ninjas.
Oh, I'll buy it. I mean, I got to upgrade my crappy old DVD. Only if they recreate
the menu,
though.
The menu, yeah.
They got to recreate
it. It's going to be an HDR this time.
Yeah.